You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was presented by Dr. Dale A. Meyer. It's titled, The Lonely Battles of Ruth. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus once said, how often I wanted to bring your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. How lonely Jesus must have felt, how he grieved. So many wouldn't take refuge under him. I hope that you do. Today, I especially hope that you who are feeling alone because someone has died, take refuge under the wings of the Almighty. Oh, you think you'll never get over the death of your husband, your wife, your parent, your child, your dear one. And in some ways, you won't. But under the Savior's care, you can go slowly from feeling the bitter sting of death to finding joy in the sweet promise of heaven. Today I urge all of you, especially you who are lonely and in grief, to know that the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let me tell you about the lonely battles of the widow Ruth. A couple named Elimelech and Naomi lived in Bethlehem in the days of the Old Testament. They had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Because there was a famine in the land around Bethlehem, this family moved to a country called Moab. There Mahlon and Chilion met and married two local women named Orpah and Ruth. And there also the men died. First Elimelech died, and then Mahlon and Chilion died. Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth became widows. Now, the conventional wisdom says that you shouldn't make any drastic changes, like moving, after a death. But when word came that the famine around Bethlehem was over, and food was again available, Naomi decided to move back home to Bethlehem. But Naomi counseled Orpah and Ruth not to move with her. She told Orpah and Ruth, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it's more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." Orpah did stay in Moab, but Ruth went with Naomi to Bethlehem. Some of Naomi's old friends in Bethlehem saw her and said, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." You know those bitter feelings, those lonely feelings? The phone rings. Or someone comes to the door, or the doctor says, "I'm so sorry, we did what we could. Your husband, your wife, your loved one is gone." Your first feeling is shock. Your body and mind go numb. "This can't be. No, this isn't real. We had plans. I'm going to wake up out of this bad dream, and he'll be there, she'll be there. It'll be just like always." You're in shock. Sooner or later, you do go to sleep, and when you wake up, you find it's no dream. The numbness is still there. It's like nothing is real. You're empty. You cry. You can't concentrate on anything. You're lonely. Now you know what the word bitter really means. Platitudes don't help much. Someone says, "I know how you feel," and you think, "No, you don't." Someone says, "You have such beautiful memories." But what are memories compared to the real thing? Someone says, "Oh, she looks so natural, so at peace." No, there's nothing natural or peaceful about the death of your loved one. Someone religious says, "Your loved one is in a better place." Your heart breaks, and you think, "I wish I were there too." What are those platitudes compared to the bitter devastation that you feel? When the funeral is over, when all the friends and family are gone, then you really battle the loneliness that death has forced upon you. After the funeral, you battle alone and often feel that you're losing the battle. Helpless, you yearn for a helper. Defenseless, you yearn for a defender to protect and shield you. The widow Ruth found such a helper and defender. His name was Boaz. Naomi and Ruth had arrived in Bethlehem, and they found a place to stay. Next, they had to find food. Ruth said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. While Ruth was gleaning, the owner of the field came. His name was Boaz. "Who's that young woman?" he asked. His foreman said, "That's Ruth, the woman from Moab." Boaz had heard good things about Ruth, and so he looked after her. Boaz defended Ruth. A woman among men could have resulted in an agricultural version of the tailhook scandal, but Boaz gave orders to his men not to harass Ruth. Boaz helped Ruth. He told her to keep gleaning in his fields. He gave her lunch. He even told his men to leave more for Ruth to glean. That was the kind of help that the widow needed. I remember that not too many days after my father was buried, my mom called up and said the drain in the basement was backing up. Things like that have an uncanny way of happening after funerals. It makes the bitterness more pronounced. You really feel alone. You feel helpless and need a helper. You feel defenseless and you need a defender. For Ruth, that was Boaz. Really, it was God. For Boaz was God's servant to aid the widow. Ruth faced her lonely battles from under the shelter of the Almighty. As bitter as death was, Ruth knew that God was with her. She would agree with Psalm 146, "Blessed is he, or she, whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. The Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow." Boaz, who was God's servant to Ruth, shared Ruth's faith. He once told her, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done for your mother-in-law. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." In time, Boaz and Ruth married. The Bible carefully records that Ruth and Boaz were ancestors of Jesus Christ. The widow Ruth, who had faced the lonely battles of widowhood under the protecting wings of the Almighty, became an ancestor of Jesus. Jesus, who said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to bring your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not." As God gathered the widow Ruth under his almighty wings, so God in Jesus wants to enfold you. Sooner or later, we all go through the grieving process. Maybe you're in it now. The Savior wants to be with you in your lonely battles with grief. Paul told the Corinthians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Whenever it comes, the grieving process is filled with overwhelming feelings. First, there is shock. This can't be! Shock is the way your mind and body deal with the devastating news of death. Who made you to react this way? God did. I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, says the psalmist. When the bitter news comes, your Creator has already taken forethought for you. The shock lasts about 3 weeks, and then you begin to accept reality. You go from thinking, this can't be, to that deep, piercing acknowledgement that, yes, this is real. Now you feel helpless. Now you cry. Now you want to talk. This is the time when you need someone who will listen to you. You probably have friends or family members who will listen. Certainly your Heavenly Father listens. Cast your burden upon the Lord, says the psalmist. When you realize that, yes, this really is death, and yes, you've got some lonely battles to face, then you'll start to feel angry. You've gotten a raw deal and you're angry about it. Sometimes your anger is directed at other people. Sometimes at yourself. You feel guilty about things you didn't do. Sometimes your anger is even directed against God. And sometimes you get angry at the loved one who died. Doug Manning tells the following story about anger in his book, Comforting Those Who Grieve. One of the sweetest ladies I know found her anger being focused on her departed mate. The first Thanksgiving after her mate died, the children insisted on her joining them for Thanksgiving dinner. She wasn't ready for such a family gathering, but the children insisted. They couldn't bear the thought of their mother being alone on Thanksgiving. The lady went and had a miserable time. After the meal, she took dishes to the kitchen. She forgot that the window over her daughter's sink looked out on the cemetery across the street. She suddenly screamed, "Why did you leave me like this, you so-and-so?" Her daughter was entering the kitchen with a handful of dishes. The shock of her mother's outburst caused her to drop the dishes on the floor. The grandchildren heard the outburst and began running through the house in a panic, saying, "Grandmother's in the kitchen cussing Grandpa because he died." Perhaps the stage of anger is the most bitter. But God is there too. He knows that this angry person under his wing is struggling with grief. When you get angry at whomever, God doesn't get angry at you. He wants to hold you closer with the sweet words of your loving and forgiving Savior. Jesus suffered God's anger at the cross so that the sins of every person in the world could be forgiven. Jesus battled death at the cross so that there is eternal life for all who seek refuge in the everlasting arms. Jesus comforts angry, grieving people with the comforts of His good news. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Sin gives death its sting, and the law gives sin its power. But thanks be to God who continues to give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you angry because death has left you alone? Let the gospel of Jesus bring you from the bitterness of death to the sweet hope of eternal life. Let us suffer here with Jesus, and with patience bear our cross. Joy will follow all our sadness. Where He is, there is no loss. Though today we sow no laughter, we shall reap celestial joy. All discomforts that annoy shall give way to mirth hereafter. Jesus, here I share your woe. Help me there your joy to know. Eventually, your journey through the process of grief comes to the point where you accept what has happened and you get on with your life. Experts say it takes about 2 years to get to this point. This is the time when you look back at the death of your loved one and acknowledge that it was a bittersweet experience. It was bitter for obvious reasons. But your friends and the comforts of the gospel added sweetness to that bitter sting of death. More and more, as you go with God through the process of grief, you'll focus on the eternal sweetness of heaven. How sweet heaven will be for those who have faced the lonely battles of death with Jesus. St. John shares his vision of heaven in Revelation chapter 7. After these things I looked, and there was a large crowd that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and carrying palm branches in their hands. And they called out with a loud voice, saying, "We are saved by our God who sits on the throne and by the Lamb." These are the people who are coming out of the great suffering, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. They will never be hungry again, nor will they ever be thirsty again. Nor will the sun ever overcome them, nor any burning heat. Because the Lamb in the center near the throne will be their shepherd, and He will lead them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Take your grief to Jesus. Take your anger, take your guilt, take your shock. Take your whole self to Him who waits for you. Your Savior will put a glisten of heavenly hope in the tears you cry, and one day He will wipe away every tear from your eye. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.